Good morning. And welcome to our worship service here this Sunday, November the 7th. A good morning and a welcome to you all. We fell back in time last night and maybe gained an extra hour of sleep. Maybe, maybe not. But I think we all arrived on time, so we all remembered to set our clocks back and gain an extra hour. Always good. We look forward to worshiping together this morning and hearing from Pastor Randy, bringing the message to us, reflecting on selected verses from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 with the title, Where Have All the Spirits Gone? We will turn our attention to the bulletin, and I'll highlight just a few announcements. I invite you to take a look at the week at a glance. There are various programs and meetings happening this week, so be sure to take a look at that, especially those who may be involved in those things. And to take note that next Sunday there will be German service at 9:15, so we look forward to that. A reminder that today there will be a church membership meeting immediately following the service. So listed in the bulletin is the agenda for the meeting and a note from council and some details as well. So if you haven't yet, take note of that. And then the church directory that I know Eileen has been very hard at work preparing for us, it is now available. So if you did not pick it up on your way in, there are copies at both of the screening tables at either of the doors. So be sure to pick one of those up on your way out if you have not yet already. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm chapter 78, verses 1 to 7. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things that we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from our descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. So I'll invite the song leaders up now to lead us in music.
Good morning. We invite you all to stand in your place to sing our first song, I Will Sing of the Mercies.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. Sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known
You can be seated for our second song, Thy Word.
We move now into a time of prayer, so I ask that you bow with me. Heavenly Father, we come to worship this morning, grateful for this place to meet and this church family you have given us to meet with. We arrive eager to be restored, reflecting on the days that have passed, and look to be enlightened for the days ahead. We ask for your mercy for the times our words and actions did not glorify you, when we chose intolerance over patience, indifference over kindness, doubt over faith, and disbelief over hope. May we be reminded of the power of your Spirit that lives and walks with us, and we thank you for the grace you extend to us each moment of every day. In this time of prayer, we bring to you the needs of our community and the world around us. As we gather today as a community of faith, working to discern together what our continued time of transition may look like, we ask that you help us to remember that you are here with us and are with us in all things. May we come together as one body in Christ, working together to ultimately serve you and your kingdom. As our nation acknowledges Remembrance Day this week, we reflect on the sacrifices made by those who have served in various conflicts, but help us also to remember those who have worked for peace and done so with peaceful means. We ask that you guide us in continuing to be committed to working for peace and reconciliation for all and future generations. We pray for those in our lives that are in need of your healing hand, be it in body, mind, or spirit, and for those in roles of support. May they feel your presence as you comfort them. In this moment of quiet reflection, we lift to you the names of those on our hearts. May we continue to put our trust in you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. As we go from this place, encourage and strengthen us to be the hands, feet, and voice of Jesus in all that we say and do. We pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The scripture this morning is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 to 17. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Alvin. Where have all the spirits gone? This past week, I received a letter at the church, which is actually a copy of a letter that's circulating on the internet, with a handwritten note indicating the date, and it was actually addressed to those of us in the office staff, naming us each by name. Unsigned. Anonymous. I usually toss letters like this into the garbage, usually without even reading them, but there was something about this one that caught my attention. I've heard that there are people who actually believe the contents of this letter. The letter originates with Anonymous Q, or as the media has called the movement, QAnon. QAnon is the American-based far-right conspiracy theory group known for making its false claims, notably for its part in the January 6th violent protest in Washington. You begin to get the idea. Anyway, I assumed the intent of the sender of this particular letter was to invite us in the office to have a good laugh. Or perhaps it was a protest on the part of someone protesting the church efforts to combat the pandemic and for us to assert that Donald Trump really is the President of the United States. I'm not sure what I can do to change the minds of U.S. voters, but I will support the expertise of Canadian, global scientists, along with medical professionals around the world who ask us to do what we can to stop the spread of the virus. It's infected close to 2 million Canadians and close to the lives of 30,000 Canadians. Worldwide, numbers are close to 250 million infected and well over 5 million who have died from COVID. I had considered throwing away this letter in the trash, and yet somehow it seemed to connect with the theme I've been working on for this morning's message. Where have all the spirits gone? The Apostle Paul in this text is working hard, making an appeal to denounce misinformation, and other translations simply call it ignorance. Our Bible reading from 1 Thessalonians 4, one I've shared many times while standing beside open graves with families at cemeteries. There, death is not the stuff of conspiracy theories. When family and friends gather to lay to rest a loved one, the reality of death's finality is raw Last Monday, November 1st, was All Saints' Day. This coming Thursday, November 11th, Remembrance Day. Later this month, November 21st, we'll acknowledge Eternity Sunday, memorial service for those of our faith community who've died in the past year. On our November calendars, there are these 3 days that share in common a call for us to remember those who have died. Well, it starts with that better-known holiday, Halloween. Better said, Saints' Evening. And it gets all the attention because of its commercial value. Grocery stores sell trick-or-treat candies and other foodstuffs. Pop-up costume stores appear and disappear, while restaurants and event planners offer special party packages. What's there to commercialize about visiting a cemetery where the purpose is to pray in remembrance of the love and faith of those who have gone before us? As with other traditions, how events get acknowledged or celebrated, it depends on the geography and the emphasis given or ignored by local participants. Our Bible reading for today, 1 Thessalonians 4. We do not want you to be uninformed. We don't want you to be ignorant, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. What is it about those who've died that the Apostle Paul wants the Thessalonians and us to know? What ignorance, what misinformation does Paul want to clear up? And reading the passage more fully, it seems that some of the Christians in Thessalonica understood that those who had accepted salvation in Jesus, they would live until Jesus returned. So when they're standing at the graveside of loved ones, those who've believed in Jesus, and now whose bodies were being laid into the ground, question foremost in their minds: where have they gone? Where have their spirits gone? If we live with the promise of Jesus coming again, if we put our trust in Jesus as Savior, what hope is there for those who die? Dead? Buried? Gone? The question in the context of the Greco-Roman world is a common assumption that we live, we die, and that's it. Period. No resurrection, no life after death, nothing. Reflected on an ancient tombstone is the Latin epitaph: I was not, I am not, I care not. To those who were misinformed, those who were ignorant, the Apostle Paul appeals to the truth so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. The hope. Based on the eyewitness accounts, Paul could say that since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who've died. And so for those standing at the graveside of a loved one, know that God will bring with him those who've died. Death, it's not over. The Apostle Paul, the spiritual pastor, is speaking words of comfort in grief. Yet he is also speaking words for a future. Recall the word of Jesus who spoke to the thief on the cross, both of them staring death in the face. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. And the Apostle Paul's not trying to stir up a glorious image of heaven, so commonly thought of as the place of the afterlife. Hearing the word heaven. Oh, wait a minute. Perhaps you had an image, and those images are likely gathered from various passages in the Bible. The afterlife spoken in the Bible. Psalm, there's lots of it in the Old Testament. Psalm 33, God's dwelling place. John 14, Jesus speaking of his Father's house. Acts 1, the place where Christ ascended to and is today. Later in Philippians, where Christians go when they die. Hebrews, a city designed and built by God, a better country. And of course, Revelation 21, the place where the streets are paved with gold, gates made of pearls, made of precious jewels. Wow. Interesting that there's no single extensive passage in the Bible to describe heaven, even though these are common references in the Bible that are familiar. Yet the description throughout much of the Bible doesn't focus on a place. That's not Paul's concern that he's speaking to the Thessalonians. Paul's compassionate appeal is the reality of grieving families standing at the grave of a loved one, wondering what's happened to them? What's happened to their salvation? Did it do any good? Paul offers his pastoral words not about the glory of heaven, not about the apocalyptic end times, but to console people in their unnecessary, hopeless grief. Some Christian believers in Thessalonica, they were confused. And ever since then, there have been lots of other people experiencing this confusion about death and resurrection. And Paul's real appeal is to help the Christians think about life in the midst of death. For this we declare to you, by the word of the Lord, we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. And so when Paul writes, until the coming of the Lord, coming, he draws upon a well-known technical term that used in that day of a ruler's state visit, coming, or in the Greek, parousia. This was the image of city officials gathering at the city gate to meet and welcome a visiting ruler. Then follows a parade through the city with the crowds cheering the arrival. This is the coming. And Paul says, the coming of the Lord. The image, Jesus riding into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey and people shouting his arrival, waving palm branches and tossing their coats. And so you begin to understand Paul drawing upon that image of entry into God's city with loud commands, the archangel thundering from heaven and God's trumpet blast. Gets our attention. God's coming. And so where have all the spirits gone? Paul doesn't want us to be ignorant. They've not gone quietly. Writer Henry Nouwen makes an interesting observation. He says, the resurrection of Jesus was not a hidden event. The resurrection of Jesus was, remove that word, the resurrection of Jesus was a hidden event. Jesus didn't rise from the grave to baffle his opponents. He didn't make a victory statement or to prove to those who crucified him that he was right after all. Jesus rose as a sign to those who loved him that God's divine love is stronger than death. The world didn't take notice, only those whom he called by name. I believe Apostle Paul wanted the Thessalonians and us to know God's divine love is stronger than death. And so he concludes these words of pastoral comfort and assurance, telling us to encourage one another with these words. I suspect it's rather difficult, maybe even few among us who've seriously had to think about our own death. To do so is a daunting task, yet in many ways it's a very important one. Because coming to terms with death frees us up to truly live. While some shy away from attending cemeteries, I believe they're important places to visit from time to time. Remembering the dead, as we do during this month, the act of remembrance in that we share at this time of year are important moments to reflect on those who have gone before us. To know that someday we will follow. We're not here for eternity. There's much more going on than this. To know that someday we will follow, and yet to hold as precious and sacred the gift of this day and what it means to be alive. We spend so much energy living, facing the realities of life's limitations. We spend a lot trying to stay healthy and vibrant. And we also want to know that we will be all right. We want to know that those we care for and those we love, that they too will also be all right. And here the Bible tells us that God wants to bring us home into God's eternal kingdom. The Bible tells us of the reality of a heaven and a hell. The Bible also tells us that nothing happens without our choosing it. Therefore, we must choose for God if we want to be with God. And so when I study the life and teachings of Jesus, I don't envision him sitting at the temple gates selling fire insurance. Jesus told stories about the kingdom of God with the challenge for you and I to follow him and to welcome the reality of God's kingdom, not for some future eternity, but to live in it today. That's the turnaround of salvation, the 180. Of life. And so standing at a graveside is not to think about the end, but to gain perspective on how to live for these days. And for followers of Jesus, preaching and believing in the resurrection, it was not the vision of going to heaven, but rather to embrace the fact that Jesus, God has come. God has come to live with us and inviting us to live in his kingdom. And it's the Christmas story all over again. God with us. To live with God with us. And so contrary to what is often thought of and preached about, particularly about the book of Revelation, it's not about the end of the world and souls going off to heaven. When we read about the New Jerusalem in the book of Revelation, the New Jerusalem is coming down. That's what the Bible says. New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. That's now, not some future time. So while the Apostle Paul wanted to assure Christians that loved ones who have died in Christ, their spirits will also rise with Christ. The message Paul was passionate about to preach was that in Jesus, God has come to live with you, to guide you, to give you hope, wisdom for the living of these days. And we all know we need a lot of wisdom for living these days. And so the word of salvation is not focused on some future heavenly place, but inviting us to live as those who belong to Jesus, who belong to the kingdom of God, on earth as it is in heaven. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Gracious God, in these days when we have so much information available to us, globally, we know things happening around the world moments after it occurs. And with light speed, we find all kinds of information. And there's so much information that it results in so much ignorance. Forgive us, O Lord, when we do not trust in your word. Forgive us when we begin to place our trust in other theories, speculations about this world and the next. Keep us grounded in the life of Jesus. Welcome him into my life today. I want to follow him today. For all the wisdom and spiritual insight that can come through listening to Jesus, guard and protect our minds and hearts so that we may truly live today knowing that we are part of your eternity, that you have come to be with us both now and forevermore. Amen.
Thanks so much, Pastor Randy, for a message that we'll definitely need to take some time to think about and digest and gives us hope. We are going to sing our closing song, What a Fellowship.
What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning.
Close off our time of worship momentarily. I'll share a benediction, and then there will be a brief period of time when we reconfigure things here for a few moments for the membership meeting. Knowing there are those of you who would not be staying for the membership meeting, for the benediction, I'll ask you to stand. After the benediction, if you would carefully make your way to the aisle, whether it's the outside or the center aisle, if you are leaving, please kind of maintain some sense of awareness of our protocols for distance there, and it may take us a few moments, but we'll take time for that. I would invite you to stand for the benediction. As we close this time of worship, in God's great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This until the coming day of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time through Jesus Christ our Lord. As you go, go in peace and live in the peace of Christ. Amen.
Test, thank you. There it goes.
Is that yours?
Is that your background?
Needs a source.
You good? Just waiting on some technology. It seems to be taking just a moment. There we go. Okay, good morning, everybody. Thank you for taking a few moments out of your weekend to stay with us and discuss a few important items.